This week's Shiurim have been sponsored by Family Weeder, Leilu Nishmas, Maras Miriam, Chaya, Bas Rav Yecheskel. Aleha Shalom.
Gimel Menachem Ov, Wednesday, the 3rd of August, Rabbi Malcolm Herman, Avelus and Nechama.
Avelus and Nechama. So to share some thoughts on this topic, obviously now we're in the process in the weeks of Avelus leading up to Tisha B'Av, which is really where Klal Yisrael themselves go into a state of Shiva. But immediately following the period of Avelus, we go into the period of Nechama, 7 weeks Shiva de Nechemta, which take us all the way from Tisha B'Av all the way through to Yom Noroim. So I'd like to look at what is the concept of Avelus, and what is the concept of Nechama, and then follows it immediately. And perhaps for the first time, I hope it's not a little presumptuous, so I've taken together some thoughts, but there's one or two thoughts that occur to me as well, in terms of this. So first of all, we find in the Torah that one of the times when Avelus is mentioned, in the episode of Yosef and the brothers. So the brothers scheme, and the brothers conspire, and the brothers sell Yosef, and then they come back home and present to their father Yaakov the fact that his son, his precious son, has been killed. And the Torah tells us, and all of his sons and daughters arose to comfort him, and he refused to be comforted. And he said, I will descend in mourning to the grave, and his father cried for him. Now, so first of all, we find over here the word Ovel. He will descend, I will descend in mourning to the grave. And the word Ovel has exactly the same letters as the word Aval, but. And later on in the same episode with Yosef and his brothers, so they come down to Mitzrayim in the time of famine, and they don't recognize Yosef, Yosef recognizes them, and Yosef begins to give them a hard time. And the brothers, in conversation with each other, without realizing that Yosef is listening, and the brothers say to each other, Aval Hashem Manachnu, but we are guilty. Alachinu, our brother's brother, Shereinu, we saw Tzoras Nafshari's pain. This Chalno Eleinu, when he appealed to us, V'lo Shamanu, we did not listen. Alkein Bo Alinu Tzoraso. Somehow they intuitively understand that the trouble they're now having with this unknown Egyptian viceroy is linked to the pain that they gave their brother Yosef. And Rav Hirsch notes the words Avel and Aval are exactly the same letters. So Rav Hirsch says that what is the function of Aval in a sentence? What is the function of the word but in a sentence? Obviously, if words in Hebrew have the same letters, they've got to be intrinsically linked. That's how Hebrew language works. So the function of the word but in a sentence is basically it creates a full stop. Or it creates a stop in the middle of a sentence. If someone says to you, I really enjoyed your shiur, but... it was going very well until but. And you don't hear anything before the but. All that is cancelled. That's completely cancelled. And but creates a full stop in the sentence. Says Rav Hirsch that Avel creates a full stop in the middle of life. Person is going along life. Life is going on. That's one that's not a person's hit by a bereavement. And there's Avelus. And suddenly everything comes to a standstill. The week of Shiva, no interaction with the outside world. Everything has to carry on. But the world within comes to a complete and utter standstill. So Avelus is that process where life comes to a standstill. The events that happen are so shattering that life comes to a standstill. Certainly it's difficult to conceptualize a before and after, and it interrupts that which happened before, and it creates an uncertainty about that which will happen after. That's the reason why the word Avel and Avel is exactly the same word. Interestingly, Agav, he says, the word Lehis Nachem over here is a reflexive term. He refused to be comforted. And it says, Vaisachos, that the process of comfort is not something you can impose on somebody else. It's something they have to achieve within themselves. You can offer them ideas to achieve comfort, but ultimately it's reflexive form. It's only something, and that's why in this particular occasion, because Yaakov Avinu could not receive comfort. Rashi, of course, famously says that the process of Nechama and Shitfa is only awarded when there's been a real bereavement. Here there wasn't a real bereavement, and therefore Yaakov Avinu could not be comforted for all of those years. So that is the definition of the word Avelus. It's a full stop in the middle of life. Everything comes to a standstill. Let's have a look now at the counterpart of Nechama. Now famously, Psukim of Nechama, Ki Nicham Hashem Tzion Nicham Kol Chor Basehal. Hashem will comfort Tzion, Nicham Kolcha, Baseha, all the ruins, Vayoseh mid Barak Eden. Beautiful Pesukim. He'll make a wilderness like Eden, Varvasek again Hashem. And it's wasteland like a garden, Vesimcha Yemotze, Vaturna Vakol Zimra. And there'll be a process of Simcha, and there'll be joy and gladness found in it. That's the process of Nechama, the beautiful concept of Nechama. And yet we find that Nechama, which is normally translated as comfort, is not always appropriate. On the contrary, Pirkei Avos tells us there is a time when it is utterly and completely inappropriate and insensitive. Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, Al Tarat Es Chavercha M'Sha'as Kaseh, do not attempt to appease your friends in the moment of his anger. A person is in the middle of a flaming temper. Don't attempt to please him. Don't say to him, don't worry, it's not so bad. Don't worry, it's fine. Things aren't so bad. What do you mean they're not so bad? It's not going to please him at all. For Alta Nachamenu, the Shasha Mesa Mutlafalov, almost counterintuitively, at the moment when a person is confronted with their bereavement, that's not a time for comfort. While Tishla B'Shas Nidro, don't attempt to dissuade them, find a Pesach from the Nezer, the immediate moment they've taken it. Now, the person is just taking the Nezer. And you say, did you really mean it this way? Did you really mean that? Of course I did. And that moment of immediate reaction, you're not going to dissuade them of their neder. I'll just add a Larosa B'Shas Kolossos. Over here, various advice and prokyovas as to how to interact with people at moments of critical emotion. But what it says of it, Alta Nachamenu M'Shash Mesa Mutl Follow. Don't attempt to offer Nachama at the moments when they have a bereavement. Although, as I say, we might have thought that's when they need it. They need some kind of Nachama. So what is Nechama? Let's see if we can work a precise definition of the term Nechama to understand when it is matter, when it is appropriate, and when it is not appropriate, and how it applies to us in these particular times. So I'd like to spend some time on the well-known Gemara at the end of Makkos, oft-quoted Gemara at the end of Makkos, and look in a little bit more detail, a little bit more depth. Gemara tells us that there were three Tanaim, Rav Meir, Rav Elazar ben Azariah, and Beshura, four Tanaim, Rav Akiva, were walking through Yerushalayim. Gemara brings two episodes. The first episode, they can hear the Romans partying, and the other three, said to Rabbi Akiva, is this it? This is the star for those who are over the Avodah Zarah, those who oppose all that Hashem created the world for. And Rabbi Akiva gives them a Kal Vachomer. Listen, if that's what they are getting, can you imagine it's Hashem, one day what we will get? That doesn't seem to offer them much comfort. They don't respond to Rabbi Akiva in that. And then the second episode. Shul Pamachas Hayon in Yerushalayim. It was the second occasion when they were on their way to Yerushalayim. Kibin Shigyun Harabayis, the Haratzofim, once they reached Haratzofim, Korov Vigdeyan. They did Kriya. Kibin Shigyun Harabayis, when they saw Harabayis, Ra'u Shu'al Shiyatim Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim. They saw a fox that was running in and out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Yitzchimahim Beichin, Rabbi Kiva Metzachim. They began to cry, Rabbi Kiva began to laugh. Omrulay, they said to him, what are you laughing for? Hardly an appropriate moment to laugh when you see the degradation of the base of Middash. Omrulahem, Mimnei Matam Bochim, why are you crying? Omrulay, they said to him, Makam Shakosaboy, Vazara Korev Yumas, the place about which it said that if a human being inappropriately entered there, the human frame couldn't take it and they would die. The Akshav Shulim Holchaboy, and now there's foxes, no Nifke, we shouldn't cry. Omrulahem, the Kachani Matachi Dafka, because of this, I'm laughing. Diksiv, and he quoted from Isaiah, Va'idali Adim Neimonimus Uriah Hakon Vezacharyo Ben Yerech Yohu. And Isaiah says, I will bring, Hoshbach says, I will bring two faithful witnesses, Uriah and Zacharyo. Now, these were two, says the Gemara, Vachim Ma'inyan Uriah Aids and Zacharyo. These were two different Nevi'im, we lived in different times. Uriah Bimid Deshrish, Zacharyo Bimid Desheni. Why does the Kodesh Baruch Hu say that these two will be my witnesses? Says Rabbi Akiva, Tola HaKosan of Vosesh HaZachari ben Vosesh HaUriah. So clearly there's some kind of link between those two aspects. They're to Nevin. Uriah Kasev, and it now quotes, Uriah Kasev quotes Micha, Lachain Bechlal Chem Tzion Sodeh Secharesh. So the negative prophecy, because of you, Tzion, the area of the Beis HaMikdash, will be plowed over. In Zechariah it says, O's, Yeshua Zekenim, Zekenis, Bruchim, Yishlaim. There'll come a time when one day there'll be, the streets of Yishlaim will be filled with Zekenim and Zekenis. Ad Shalon is coming of Vosesh Azuria, Ha'isim Yisrael Shalit is coming of Vosesh Zechariah. So Mekiva says, I was concerned the negative prophecy, that maybe the positive prophecy would never be realized. Now that I see the realization of the negative, I can have confidence of the positive. Ad Shalon is coming of Vosesh Azuriah, etc. And the Gemara finishes off with the words, Akiva Nechamtona, Akiva Nechamtona. This is the Gemara, a very well-known piece of Gemara, often heard on Erev Pesach and the Pharisaim. There are many, many questions on this piece of Gemara I'd like to share with you. First of all, the Maharsha asks, that it's very difficult to understand what does it mean that Rabbi Akiva laughed. First off, there is a din, Kolamis Abel on Yerushalayim, right? So Chamarayim and Chosav, an injunction of Chazal. You've got to mourn when you see the destruction of Yerushalayim. You've got to be past that mourning. Secondly, in Eicha, the very last chapter of Eicha, the Navi says, Al Zeh Hayadav Elibenu, Al Eile, Al Eile Hashku Einenu, Al Halsi En Shishamim, Shulim Shalchabot. The very episode that Rabbi Akiva appears to have laughed at, the Navi says, this was what our eyes wept for incontrollably. There were foxes running in and out of the Makim HaMikdash. So it seems, how can it be appropriate that Rabbi Akiva laughed at it? And thirdly, his kasher is, that why do we particularly link the prophecies of Uriah and Zechariah? There are many, many Nevi'im who prophesied both the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and the Nechama. So if you want to find prophecies that link Nechama and destruction, so you don't need to go through this process of Uriah and Zechariah. Many of the prophecies prophesied both. So just pick one prophet that prophesied one and prophesied the other, and cite that as a reason for Nechama. So Mashal learns that we have to understand what was Rabbi Akiva responding to. There's no question about it. In terms of seeing the Siluk Shekhinah from the Beis HaMikdash, no question about it, Rabbi Akiva also mourned. And we see from the beginning of the Gemara, he did Kriya, they all did Kriya. They saw the Makom HaMikdash, they saw Haravais, Koru Bideim. It doesn't say that Rabbi Akiva did not do Kriya, they all did Kriya. So what was Rabbi Akiva's particular response? It wasn't the fact there was no Shekhinah Beis HaMikdash, Avada for that, he did Kriya, he did Avedis. When he responded to them was the way in which they reacted to what was happening in the Makom HaMikdash itself. They said, well, this is a terrible tragedy. Look at this place. This is a place by Zahar Koragumus. This is a place whereby if a human being was to enter there, even a member of Klal Yisrael, inappropriately in Makom HaMikdash, this would be the end of their lives. And here you see foxes going in and out. And it's from this particular angle that he took comfort. Why so? Because what he saw in this was the promise, the fulfillment of the promise, that the land of Eretz Yisrael will never yield produce for anybody else. In other words, for them, it was almost like the focus was, you know, if only there had been people here, perhaps it wouldn't be so bad. That's just Marashah. Almost as though the other Tanaim was saying, if there had been people here, it wouldn't be so bad. But such degradation that there are foxes running in and out of the Makom HaMikdash, that's really unacceptable. That's really something that triggers mourning and tears. So as we keep a name, Punkt Verkehrt, it's Baruch Hashem that aren't people here. Because the fact there aren't people here demonstrates that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has kept his promise to us that the land will always be for Klal Yisrael, that no one else will be able to nurture, cultivate, or yield produce from the land. On the contrary, the very fact that it's only animals that are here, to me gives me nechama, says Rabbi Akiva. To me gives me comfort, because that is a realization of the promise that the land will be barren. That will be ploughed like a field, it will yield no produce to anybody else. Even the foxes, says the Marshal, they don't even stay there. They get in and out of there. There's nothing there at all. So avada for the Siluk HaShekhinah, there was Kriya. Avada for Siluk HaShekhinah, there was Avedus. But when they said what upsets us particularly is to see foxes, they said, no, that aspect I don't agree with. That gives me comfort because it shows the connection between a Kodesh Baruch Hu and the land, and that is the realization of the promise of that the land will can never be taken over by anybody else, and in that promise I therefore see Nechama. And that's why he particularly picked the prophecy of Uriah, which focused on Tzion Sodeh Sechoresh, and that negative aspect, which in that negativity is where he actually saw the positivity. That's the pshat the Mashal gives, and that answers his questions. Avada he mourned. And Avada, when in Eicha it talks about the foxes going in and out, this is part of the destruction. But the fact they focused on that and somehow thought that that was worse than their people being there, that's what he objected to. That's number one. Over here as well, the Tosfos asks a wonderful, intriguing question. The psukim we quote, the shape Uriah. Uriah and Lavi, we quote, the Gemara implies that this was the prophecy of Uriah. And the prophecy that Siyam Basadai Seferesh was a prophecy of Uriah. In fact, says Tosfos, it isn't. It isn't. This is from Sefer Micha. Perek Gimel of Sefer Micha. And it's not from Uriah at all. There's nothing from there. So therefore Tosfos asks, well, what does it mean over here? The Gemara is quoting, Rabbi Akiva says, until I heard the prophecy of Uriah, I have no confidence in the prophecy of Zechariah, but this is not the prophecy of Uriah. This is the prophecy of Micha and of it. So Tosfos actually says, takes us to a chapter in Yirmiyah. In chapter Chavav in Yirmiyah, Yirmiyah Hanavi is coming to chastise Klal Yisrael and to warn them of the terrible times that are en route. And the initial reaction to Yirmiyah, for those, is that the people want to kill him. They want to kill him, and they complain to the king, and they want to kill Yirmiyah. And there's a whole vikuach over here, debating for and against killing Yirmiyah. Now, and in fact, some of the people say, and they say in defense of Yirmiyah, don't kill Yirmiyah, because they then quote Micha. Micha HaMarashti. Earlier on, Micha was a prophet in the times of Hezekiah. And he then, and Yirmiyah, and Micha then said to the people at the time, Kom Hashem Tzavakos, Tzion Sodeh Secharech. They quote this prophecy. And they say, don't kill Yirmiyah, because previously there was a similar episode where a Navi came along and delivered bad news to us. And the reaction of Hezekiah and Melech was different. And therefore, in fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu abated the Ra and things improved. And therefore, therefore said, don't kill Yirmiyah. So therefore there was a stay of execution, they didn't attack it. Then the Gemara, Perek goes on to say, there was another Navi at the time of Yirmiyah, the Gam Ish Hayamis Navi B'Shem Hashem, at the same time, Uriyahu Ben Shemayahu. And he goes on to say, V'Yinov Ala Erazos, and he gave us in the prophecy. His actual prophecy is not quoted, but it's clearly prophesied in a similar way to Yirmiyah. And then it goes on to say that in fact, Melech Yehoiakim sent his men, and they didn't kill Yirmiyah, but they killed Uriah. Now, so Tosfos says, this is what Tosfos learns, even though over here there's no prophecy quoted in the name of Uriah, but because it seems to be they quote Micha, and then they quote Uriah, and they're bracketed together, Micha wasn't killed, but Uriah was killed, says Tosfos, it must be that Uriah had said a similar thing to Micha, the same words as Micha. And therefore, when our Gemara quotes Uriah, but brings a prophet from Micha, it's because of this perek in Tanakh, whereby the implication of this perek is that Uriah had said similar things to Micha, even though his actual words are not quoted. That's how Tosfos learns.
Where do we find Uriah, though?
In the Gemara here, in the Makkos, is this quote of Makkos, in number 3 over here,
yes.
The two quotes that...
In the Gemara.
Yeah, but I'm saying that that's Tosfos Kasha. That the Gemara says we're going to quote Uriah, but it doesn't quote Uriah, it quotes Micha. That's Tosfos Kasha. So I'm saying Tosfos, and that's good for Tosfos Kasha. And Tosfos Teretz is that you're right. These aren't psukim from Uriah, these are psukim from Micha, but we can see over here, it appears to be Uriah must have said something very similar. That's why they attacked Uriah. You're Uriah, bring him in this context. The Ben Yoyada.
Was a prophet, was he?
Yes, he is. At the time of Yirmiyahu. The Ben Yoyada. There's a whole incredible chat over here, a little bit different from Tosfos. And he says that we find there are various, well, in the first place in Midrash, there's a Gimel Averis Chamorus. Averis Zara Gilar Resh V'Chastami. He says the first of those two Averis, they have an impact on the sinners, but not an impact on the land. But it brings some Parshas Maaseh, towards the end of Parshas Maaseh, last week, etc., those Afnifas Arex, when the Torah tells us that you're not allowed, if somebody's committed murder, then they don't go to Ari Miklot. Don't go to Ari Miklot. And if you do allow that, or you don't deal with the murder you're supposed to deal with, then those Afnifas Arex, you're going to damage the land. The land of Israel will be damaged if you don't deal with Shovchei Domim as they're supposed to be dealt with. Says the Ben Yoyada. You can see from over here that when it comes to Shvichas Domim, the land itself is contaminated. The land itself is damaged. The land itself becomes ruined if the Shvichas Domim of the land, which isn't dealt with. Now, over here we have a murder. They murdered Uriah. The king murdered him, the people joined in, they dealt with him in a despicable way even after they'd murdered him, not the Fikvodo, and this was a murder on the land which was never dealt with. There was never any takana for this murder of the land. In contrast, if I find the Gemara in Gittin, Nun Zayin, on the base, with the murder of Zechariah Hanavi, the blood kept boiling of Zechariah Hanavi. And the Gemara tells us over there that Nebuzadran, Ravat Abochim, the arch murderer, he was determined to avenge the blood of the Navi. Until eventually, after he murdered heaven knows how many people, men, women, and children, the blood subsided. And that was a takana of the land. So over here, says Ben Yoyada, what happens over here is that Rabbi Akiva was very well aware that this particular episode, this particular murder, had never been dealt with. There had never been any takana for the land itself. So what happens over here? He comes and sees the Beis HaMikdash and the Makom HaMikdash. And he sees that the whole place is ploughed over. The whole place has been completely ruined. This was, if you like, a takana of the land. The land itself, in which a person had been murdered, this land itself had now been completely ruined, completely despoiled, and completely ravaged. That was a takana of the land itself. And therefore he says that this nevuah of Micha is not the words of Uriah, but it's about Uriah. It was the prophet, the Navi Micha, foreseeing this episode of the murder of Uriah, and saying, you know what will be the takana for that? The takana for the murder of Uriah will be that the land itself is powered over. Says Rabbi Akiva, as always, and you can see the fact is juxtaposed in Perek Chavav of Yirmiyahu, that there is this link between Uriah and Micha. Says Rabbi Akiva, I was very worried. How could there ever be a restoration of Eretz Yisrael before this particular episode has happened? Now I come along and see that Micha's Nevuah is true, that the land itself has now been punished, if you like, or the land itself has now been fixed. Now I have confidence in the Nevuah of Zechariah. Now, what's beautiful and amazing is that Nevuah of Zechariah, Gemara in Psachim, Samam Ches, says as follows. This Nevuah is not just talking about walking through the streets of Shalim, seeing people sitting in the cafes, enjoying the summer sun, without having to go through security gates. It's more than that. Says the Gemara as follows. Amar Shmuel Melech Min, Ami Yonison. Asidin Sadikim Sheyich Yumesim. There will come a time when the righteous ones will mechayim mesim. Shenema, oid, yeshu zekenim zekenis b'chavu Yerushalayim. The time will come when they will dwell in Yerushalayim, v'ish mishantoi b'yodo. And each person will have his stick in his hand. There'll be people will live till old age. Merov yomim, people will live to a very old age in the streets of Yerushalayim in peace and quiet, leaning on their sticks. Says the Gemara, this word, mishantoi, is a very important word. V'kusiv, v'samti mishanti alpnei hanar. Quoting from Malachim Beis, when the Isha Shemamis rushes over to find Elisha because her son has died. What does Elisha do? He takes his stick and gives it to Gehazi and says, place this stick on his face to restore it. Says the Gemara, over here you can see that when it talks about the Zekenim and Zekenis in the Chumash Shalayim, V'ish Mishanto V'yado, that means that will be the time of Techias HaMesim. That's a reference to Techias HaMesim. Where will Techias HaMesim come from? The Mesim, who are Ba'af HaOretz. The Mesim, who are the dust of the ground, whose bodies have decomposed, are then Techias HaMesim. So this is a Nevuah about Techias HaMesim. Says Rabbi Akiva, how can there be Techias HaMesim from the dust of the ground of Eretz Yisrael, if the ground itself has had no tikkun for the murder of Uriah HaNavi? Says Rabbi Akiva, now I understand. When I saw the prophecy of Micha come true, I saw the tikkun of the land, that I had confidence in this next Nevuah, which was a Nevuah of Techias HaMesim Me'afah Oryx. Once I could see that the land had tikkun, I can have confidence then in Techias HaMesim in the process of Techias HaMesim Me'afah Oryx. That's the pshat of the Ben Yoyada. If we take those two together, I'd like to suggest, if I may, that now we have a very clear definition of what Nechama is. Nechama, why do they say Akiva Nechamtonu? They use those particular words, Akiva Nechamtonu. What happens is, if Avelis is where a person is frozen in the moment, Avelis is where life stands still, Nechama is context. Nechama is that ability to transcend the moment and see a before and see that there will be an after. If Avelis is where you get stuck, you're suddenly, you can't move on, you're transfixed within one's personal emotions of mourning. Nechama is that ability to rise above that and see there was a before, it hasn't cancelled everything that's come before, and to see that there will be an after. Life will continue once the pain has subsided. Over here, what do they see? They see the moment. They get caught in that episode, in that frame in their minds, the shorim running in and out. They can't see it before and after. So Rabbi Akiva, don't you see, this is part of the context of Jewish history. Whichever Peshat you learn, what he really did was he lifted them outside of the moment and said, can't you see, this is part of the continuum of Jewish history. There was a before, there will be an after. And on the contrary, if you can step back from this and see it in its wider context, you can see this is part of the continuum of Jewish history. What is Nechama? Nechama is a process of context, giving a person context and lifting them beyond that. Which is why, of course, we say, Al Tanachameh B'Shash HaMesim Mutlefonov. Context presupposes an ability to step back outside of the raw emotions. B'Shash HaMesim Mutlefonov, the moment of absolute bereavement, and the moment where the tragedy is in front of you, then Nechama is inappropriate. There's a whole different Ben Odom Lachamera, which is appropriate there. But Lachom is absolutely inappropriate. To say to a person, don't worry, life will continue, is to negate the pain of the moment. There, say Chazal, no, that's not the time for Nichum Avenu. That's not the time yet. It's not right the time for that. First you have to be with them, empathize, understand what they're going through, and only at a later stage can you then offer them the opportunity to look beyond the moment and look beyond the present as well. It struck me that it could be that maybe that's why there's no, that on Shabbos we don't have Avenus in the same way. Not in the same way. I don't know but the words Shabbos is Menucha. Menucha and Nochama are exactly the same letters. Same letters, Mem, Nun, Ches, Hey, Nun, Ches, Mem, Hey, exactly the same letters. What is Shabbos? Shabbos is where literally we transcend. Menucha is one of those very weird words in Hebrew, which has, I would say, a very accurate translation in English, which is serenity. Serenity is not just rest, it's serenity. When a person feels serene is when everything feels in place. Everything has its, there's nothing that jars or discords a person's emotional harmony. Nochama and Menucha are two sides of the same coin. The result of Nochama should be Menucha. Shabbos lifts us above the Avelus, lifts us above the immediacy or of the pain of the moment, and therefore on Shabbos it's incongruous to have Avelus on Shabbos. We're running a little bit short on time, but just to share with you, if you look at many of Rabbi Akiva's statements, Rabbi Akiva seems to have this incredible ability to step back and look beyond the moment and see things in a larger context. Once had a whole share on this, on the attitude of Rabbi Akiva throughout the whole of his life. So we know the famous Mishnah at the end of Yuma, which talks about Ashrei from Israel after Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, and they thought to themselves, Yom Kippur after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, how can we have Yom Kippur again? We're facing Yom Kippur with no karbonos, with no sa'ar azazel, etc., etc. The Kippur says, hang on a minute, there's step back, there's more to it than that. That was the means to the to a connection with Kodesh Baruch, but that connection has not been lost. The Kippur says, Zeh kal gol b'torah, v'atru echa kamocha. You can only say that if you don't allow a person's blemish to define the person. A person's a bit selfish, or a person's a bit, whatever, arrogant. If you say, no, that's how they are, that defines the mensch, Mekiva says, hang on a second, take a step back. Don't allow that singular aspect of them to define the whole of the person, take a step back. Then you can say, that's what I'm saying, I've got faults, they've got faults, there's more to me than my faults, and more to them than their faults, the same type of attitude that comes in. So, and it also I think that really, if we think about it, very interesting, it says, when the first ever Tisha B'Av was, of course, Meraglim. What does the Gemara say? Gemara in Tanis and elsewhere say, Atem Mechisem Mechia Shel Chinom. Chinom is exactly the same words as Nachim. Same letters as Chinom. Exactly the same. There, they totally forgot the context of the whole process. Kolib says to them, what do you mean? If you've forgotten what else Moshe Ben has done for us, he took us out of Mitzrayim. They got absolutely frozen in that moment of panic, that mob moment in panic. It was like a mob mentality almost. They got frozen, they couldn't see before, they couldn't see after, they got stuck in that moment. The punishment for that, for getting stuck in that moment, where they took a chinam attitude as opposed to a nachim attitude, was avelus. That was it. Okay, you got stuck in that moment. I'm afraid you're going to have to go through times in Jewish history where everything stops, where you're forced to be stuck in a moment. And then, just to finish off, I think that it's Rav Gessler has got a whole mahalach, as are many others, as to why it is that Av precedes Elul and Rosh Hashanah. It takes it away from Yom Yom Noraim. So it struck me that if you think about it, really the context at all Avera is where we get obsessed with a moment. What happens if a person tells some Lashon Hara or a person loses their temper? You become obsessed by the moment captures us all together. What is Tshuva? Tshuva is restoration of the mission. Tshuva is where you're able to transcend the moment and understand the mission. And real living, our Pitura, is where the mission defines the moment. So we move from the Avelus, which is where we are forced to spend time stuck in the immediacy of the moment. The next process is the Choma, where we then come out and look at context and see the bigger picture. That leads us straight to Elul, takes us into the right attitude, gets our minds to the right track for Elul. You know what a successful Elul is? Where you see life in the borders of context, where your mission defines the moments rather than the moments, which can sometimes hijack the mission.